The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 19 through 17. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, how many moms have heard "I love you" already? Any? Yeah. I mean, it really is nice to hear "I love you." It's nice to hear "I love you." And it's spoken to family. It's spoken to friends. But are we always sure what kind of love we're talking about? How many of you love beer and pizza? Anybody? Yeah. Now, that's not the same when you say to your mom, "I love you, Mom," right? I mean, there's a different kind of love there, I would think. But are we always sure what kind of love we're talking about? And of course, the answer is, well, no, because there's different kinds of love. And we're going to think about that a little bit as we meditate on real love, the title of our meditation this morning. So getting right into it, there are different words in the Greek for love, and they all mean, and they're all translated as love. Again, how many of you just love barbecue? Yeah, amen? Yeah, so what did you used to hear in elementary school when you said something like, "I just love this food"? What did they say? What did some of the wiseacres say? "Why don't you marry it?" Right, now that's not I don't even know how that works, but here's the deal. Even in elementary school, we know the difference between love and love. And the test is you don't want to marry it, right? I guess that's one of the ways of doing it. But if you love beer and pizza too much, you might be in danger of having the hedony kind of love. And we actually get a broad category from that. We call it hedonism. And there's a lot of things that we can get too far into and like too much for our own good, and then we're kind of that kind of a lover, a hedonistic kind of lover of things. So it's okay to have beer and pizza, but if you really love beer and pizza like you want to marry it, you better think about the kind of love you have for beer and pizza, or barbecue, or Z28 Camaros, or whatever, you know, whatever you love a lot might be the wrong kind of love to have, as we look for love in all the wrong places, right? And yet there's other kinds of love. There's the strong, visceral, gut level kind of strong passion, and sometimes moms can become and dads can become bears. You know, you don't want to get between a mother bear and her cubs. Don't mess with my kids. The other night at the, what was that? That was the hockey game we went to. World Championship. Here's all these seniors from other nations. Kate and I watched the Canadians and the Russians duke it out on the on the ice rink, and I heard some father bears getting after the refs over some of the calls. I thought, wow, that's, boy, they love that team. Now, the question is that the kind of love to have, you know? Is it okay to be mother bear and papa bear? Well, it depends on how much trouble you get into with the umpire, I guess. Again, there's a place for this kind of love, but there's a way that it gets checked, this kind of visceral Eros kind of love. Another example of Eros love is that young guy with the hot date saying to her, you know, if you really love me, honey. And actually what he's really saying is, I hormone you. Or if you want to get really technical, it's I Eros you. And listen, guys like that just need to be left alone, and they just need to suffer with their Eros, frankly. It's the best thing for them because they've got to learn. There's a place for Eros, but it's in the commitment of marriage. And then there's phileo. You know, we like our fellow Cowboy fans and Bronco fans or 49er fans, or, you know, the Stars are your favorite hockey team. And it's okay to have that kind of phileo, this kind of brotherly love, this fan association and whatnot. But then there's this agape. You speak in ways to try to hurt me. You spit on me. You smash a crown of thorns on me. You nail me to a cross. And I'm going to love you. We don't get that kind of love. It hurts when someone speaks ill of me. Yeah, I feel it. How about you when people speak ill of you? It hurts. You don't necessarily really want to love those kinds of people, right? And this kind of love, though, is the kind of love that God has for you, and God has for me, and God only knows all the bad stuff we've done to him. And yet, this is agape. It's a supernatural kind of love. It's a love that has been shown to us in what God has willingly done so that we can step back from all the wrong ways we're looking for love and to start to understand what love really is and the kind of love we really need. The kind of love that we can begin to learn how to share, although this kind of love is foreign to us. It has to actually come to us. It actually has to come and embrace us. And that's exactly what this kind of love has done. For God so loved the world. This real love is different. And this real love helps us to understand how all these other kinds of loves fit and serve love, real love, the kind of love that you need, I need, the world needs to receive through you and through me. And as impossible as it is for us to do this, it's the love that Christ is actually commanding us to do. Look at how he said it. Think about it this way. We show real love by doing what? Keeping our Savior's commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So all we have to do is keep all of God's commandments, and we actually love. Well, that's not very easy, is it? He's commanded us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to bless those who curse us. He has called us to baptize and teach, make disciples. He's called us to take and eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. He's called us to follow him. He's called us to love each other. How did it go? In 1 John, by this We know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. And then in our gospel reading, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh gosh, do I really have to love like you've loved me? And the answer is yes. This is what distinguishes us from the mission field that needs to experience God's love. We are to love each other. So, how many ways have you and I failed God in loving one another? In thought, word, and deed, by what we've done, by what we've left undone? How many ways? Would you agree with the term legion? Amen? Amen. I mean, we want to love, amen? But when we roll up our sleeves and start doing it, we start thinking, my goodness, why is it being received so poorly, my love? Right? Amen? Well, here's the good news. Who still loves you? Who still loves me? Whose love for you and me is still perfect? Our Savior, Jesus. Maybe moms, you said things like this when your kids were growing up. God loves you when you're happy. God loves you when you're sad. God loves you when you're angry. Even when you're bad. And why do moms say those kinds of things to their kids? Because they know they need to hear it too. They need to know that there's an anchor there called love that's more than just a bunch of personality traits. I mean, it is kind of interesting when you read Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. You hear these wonderful qualities about love and what love is. And I'll share those with you in moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. Wow, that's the kind of love I want to have. That's the kind of love I also want to receive. But this kind of love that's being explained by Paul is more than just a bunch of personality traits or a character. It's actually much, much more. We're in the Epistle of John, and last Sunday we heard some really powerful words. This is in 1 John 4:10. John writes it this way, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I mean, this is just such important stuff for understand. This is love. God is love. And so for us, these qualities here in chapter 13 aren't just about character traits that we want to see grow in us and we want to see grow in others. This is God. Let me do it this way. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. Boy, that's the gospel right there, isn't it? I mean, all this is the gospel. Different ways of thinking about the same thing, love, that God is and God does toward us. But to think He keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. And this is that love which anchors you, anchors me in such a way that we can dare begin to love as we have been loved. And it's all based on what God has done for us and his Son. For Christ's sake, God forgives you and forgives me for all the ways that we have failed in love. And in that forgiveness, in that absolution, in a sense, he even empowers us so that we can say, I want to love again. I don't want to give up. I know it's hard to love. I mean, fill in the blank in your home. Fill in the blank at school. Fill in the blank at work. Fill in the blank in your neighborhood. But it's to love again, to be renewed. And in Christ, we are over and over again, whether it's in forgiveness pronounced to each other or in the meal that Christ gives us, his body and blood, we are rebooted and renewed so that we can love. And we can do this because God is love, and love is God, and he has made us a part of him. The beginning of John chapter 15, Jesus talks about how intimately connected we are to him. I don't see that intimate connection, neither do you. And yet we can, by faith, trusting that it's as real as Christ is from his grave, and it's as real as his empty cross to save. And we, because of that, connected to him, have that love that we can draw on. And we'll need that love to draw on as we see how hard it is for us to love those around us. It's not always easy. And yet that's the kind of love we need. I need that kind of love for my family. My family needs that kind of love from me. A love that's patient and kind and bears all things and endures all things. And God gives it to us in his Son. You know, today's Mother's Day. And we can celebrate the love that we received. There's a country song, Jesus and Mama Always Loved Me, even when the devil took control. Mother's love. What a gift it is. Perhaps in your own life, you have seen glimpses of that unconditional love of Jesus through moms. Perhaps as a mom, you seek your best to share it, though it's not an easy thing to do, because it needs to come first to us, work in us, and then work through us. And we need that renewal all the time. That's why Jesus wants to repeat here saying, abide in me and keep my command. And my command is that you love one another. So as we try to abide in Christ by loving those around us that at times are very unlovable, as we keep wanting to forgive and say, Father, they know not what they do, as we keep trying to love and try our best, it drives us to pray, Lord, help me. Forgive me for my absence of love. Forgive me for my uncaring attitude. And that's what it's about. I mean, if someone asks you, well, what's St. Paul Lutheran Church all about? You can use the traditional terms. We're all about mission and ministry. I mean, we're working on a budget. Tragically, a lot of churches just call them budgets now. They don't even call them mission and ministry plans anymore. It's just the budget. And there's no narrative on anything. Just we're going to spend the money in the Lord's offering this way. But it's actually a mission and ministry plan that we're trying to put together. And lots of people behind the scenes taking ownership, working, trying to figure things out. Thank God for them. It's not an easy thing to do, and yet it's an important thing to do. But the bottom line of the whole thing is something different than we think. A mission and ministry plan, a spending plan, a budget is so much more. It's actually called something else. Before I tell you what it is, I want us to read this passage together. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, Jesus commands us today to have love for one another. And as we forgive each other and show mercy to each other, have compassion, talk honestly and openly, we follow the Lord, we abide in him, and we have love for one another. If instead we talk behind each other's backs and slander each other, or just become sarcastic and toxic with one another, we're not loving and we're not abiding in Christ. And there's a difference. And in the challenges of loving one another, whether it's a family that's growing sarcastic or in a friendship that's growing sarcastic, Christ calls us to love, to stop the other kind of love, maybe the eros kind of love that's going on, or the hedonistic kind of love, and to exercise agape, to be patient, to talk honestly and openly, to the point that you can talk honestly and openly in your marriage. You have agape for each other. To the extent that you can't, it's some other kind of love. Pray that God can bless you with that kind of love. It's fascinating. In just a few passages in John chapter 15, Jesus has brought up prayer a couple of times. The central place in learning how to love in marriage and parenting and grandparenting, in friendships, in relationships at church, is to pray for one another. To pray that there can be that unconditional love that makes all the difference in the world, that grows all kinds of fruit. And here's the challenge. So our mission and ministry plan that's talking about the Lord's offering and all that, it's fundamentally all about what? You could just call it a plan to love. But what's interesting about this, is our mission plan any different? Look at what Jesus said. By this, all people will know that you are really my disciples if you have love for one another. So what's our mission plan? Well, we need to love each other. It's the same plan. And to the extent that we love each other, talk honestly, forgive, show kindness, work through issues together, we show the world around us what it means to be a family of agape. To the extent that we don't do that, we're just like them and we're in need of mission help too. We need that love that comes to us through Jesus. So, mission and ministry plan, nice traditional Lutheran language for a budget. What's it all about? It's all about love. Makes me want to break out into that crazy song in chapel. It's about love, love, love. 1 John 4:7-8, except for today it's about 1 John 5:1-8. Isn't that fascinating? We've moved through some chapters and we're still thinking about love. Because it's that kind of love that we need, that agape, that unconditional love that makes all the difference in the world. Today, we think about it in terms of mother's love. Thank God for a mom who is loved. And yet no mom is perfect. She needs the love that comes from God. And in truth, all of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.